RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome, 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 welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Sunny, Sunny Hump Day Val and
Cloudy, Cloudy Gray Skies Beans.
Opposite sides.
Not really. Well, yeah. Listen, today is going to be a busy, 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 busy show, and in which I repeat myself, obviously, very often, because that's something I started doing this morning for some reason. But what a night last night. We were all, like, crazy in the chat, in the Telegram chats.
Yeah, I loved watching everybody else go crazy. I felt like a monkey in the middle. And I was like, all right, well, what does this mean? What is it? Cause somebody slow down. What the hell's going on? But a lot of activity, a lot of craziness.
Yeah, if you guys are not on Telegram, you're missing out on the library. Do you agree the library is like the one of the best resources for, you know, current happenings?
Yeah, yeah. A number of really great contributors and people looking out for...
Hold on one second. I just rudely interrupted you, Frank, and paused the show, but it's back. I rudely interrupted you, and I'll explain why in a second, because I think people need to know why I interrupted you. But go ahead. Do you remember what
I was just saying that the library is a it has plenty of great contributors, and it's always people who are looking out for information that we all need. That it's not really reported on in the cotton candy media that looks for big, shallow ass stories instead of nitty gritty nuts and bolts kind of things that really, really give you an inference of when things are moving and not stuck in the pipelines.
Yeah. And so Harold Finch, who was a good friend of ours on and who's been, you know, kind of knocked off of Twitter, started the library to be like a place that people who were facing censorship could go to actually still get the information they would have gotten via socials. And if you go to Telegram, you can join it by it's called the_library_2. And I recommend you get in there because it's to the minute. I mean, it updates every minute with stuff. And so we were all in the library last night and we were in the little individual chats that we've got going on, a bunch of researchers and reporters and things like that, just tossing these things around as they happened yesterday. And before we get into that, I just want to explain what happened just now when I stopped the show. So as you know, Frank, I had a whole host of problems with my website a few weeks ago.
I remember.
It was evil. And I decided to leave Bluehost, obviously, completely. And so I went through the process, change hosting companies, and I'll let you know who I'm using soon. And I changed, because it's really cool. I changed hosting companies, and I migrated the site over, and all this was done behind the scenes. And then everything was working great, called up Bluehost, canceled my account with them. They screwed up what I was canceling. Anyway, long story short, it's been over a month and I haven't gotten my refund yet, and I'm fit to be tied. And I'm going to say, just do not ever, ever, ever put your website hosting with Bluehost, ever. It has been a nightmare. I've lost so many nights of sleep over this. You have no idea. So that was just them calling from their like super elite customer service center to help me. And I wanted to make sure I got the guy on the phone so that I could tell him how important it was that he call me back today after this podcast so that I could get this taken care of.
Well, glad it's all getting off your plate finally.
Yeah, this better be it. Otherwise, I'm going on a rampage. I'm warning everybody. Anyway.
Well.
So.
Checking that off.
Yeah. Moving and a shaking. So I made a list yesterday of some of the things that were going on. And I think and it all happened at once, right? So, and they're all connected. So the DOJ submits this sentencing guideline for Roger Stone and they want him to go to jail for 9 years.
And how old is he? 70s?
Something like that. Basically a death sentence.
It
dying
could be.
In jail. Yeah, and not for nothing, James Wolfe, who leaked a FISA application and was sleeping with the reporter he leaked it to, from the HPC, was it, or the Senate Judiciary Committee, I'm sorry, didn't even get any jail time.
I'm glad that Devin Nunes brought that up on Lou Dobbs, too. I saw the I don't watch the channel, obviously, but I saw the highlight. It passed me, but it was actually embedded on a conservative Treehouse article I saw last night. And he had brought that up there, too, about, once again, James Wolfe, how the guy was pretty much he swallowed a barium meal and he passed it on to Ali Watkins. And where has this been? Nothing. You know, but I'm telling you, James Wolfe is in the same category as the A1s, where I'm holding out hope that we have not heard the last of them, because if they actually do just slip by like ships in the night, that is, I don't trust that anything is really going to be thoroughly done.
Mm-hmm. It's getting ridiculous, but I think that the tide is turning. I really do. And we've got plenty of reasons why. So that sentencing guideline comes out, and then all of a sudden the Justice Department steps up and says, no. Uh-uh. This is ridiculous. This is not what we were briefed on. This is not what we were told would be the sentencing recommendation for this case. They revoke that and submit a new one. In the interim, all of a sudden, all of these Mueller prosecutors that have been working on this case start dropping off the case. One by one by one, until four of them are gone, some of them resigning completely from the Department of Justice. There is that new U.S. attorney in charge. So let's go through the Jessie Liu Hu, as I call her, thing. So Jessie Liu is a U.S. attorney appointed who was, you know, handling all these Mueller things that everybody thought, since it was a Trump appointment and et cetera, would be a great thing. And it's turned out to not be a great thing. It's turned out to be actually pretty damn horrible. So Finch did a good job last night breaking this down in a way that I could never do it so quickly. He says, because Frank, you asked, please explain this to me. Like, what's going on here exactly?
It was a thread by Brian Cates.
Yes.
And the thread got a lot of attention. That's why I wanted to understand it.
Yeah. So that thread's got about 6,800 retweets. He says, wait, what? Trump got Liu to step down as U.S. attorney for D.C. by nominating her to a top Treasury Department job and then appointed Timothy O'Shea to be the new U.S. attorney. And then he withdrew her nomination the same day that the prosecutors are quitting. So,
it's nuts.
It's a house cleaning, basically. So Finch explains it like this. Liu was helping Team Mueller and the bad guys. Liu was originally picked to fix that D.C. office, but aided them instead. She quit as U.S. attorney to get ready for the Senate confirmation to this other position. Trump withdrew the nomination for her to take that job yesterday. And
got her to quit.
And Shay, who's a lifelong friend and trusted close associate of Barr, which we read about the day it happened on the show, is now the replacement for Liu. And Barr stepped in and stopped all that nonsense that was going on with the Justice Department and the Roger Stone case. As soon as O'Shea takes over, all of these prosecutors start stepping down. And this is the U.S. Attorney's Office that has been being used to prosecute politically all of the people the power brokers didn't like. This is U.S. Attorney's Office or at least the U.S. Attorney's handling General Flynn's case. In General Flynn's case, which is still, I've been trying to make the distinction for folks that there is a difference between, or was anyway, the Mueller prosecutors and the actual Justice Department. These are like holdovers from the special counsel. And I don't know if it was impeachment or what changed, Frank, but something changed. Because there is moving and shaking going on in government right now. And of course, the left is all screaming the Jennifer Rubins of the world.
Political prosecutions, Zenith Justice Department gone rogue. It's a totalitarian president out for total control, and his minion Barr is playing along with him.
And I'm like, no. This is actually what justice looks like, you stupid.
Yeah, well, this is 3.5 years in the making. I was waiting. waiting for a long, long time for the screeching about political revenge being exacted, being thrown on out there by these people. And this is it.
I think that we're at the point right now where they're being ignored now. I think that we have gotten to the point where it doesn't matter how many times they kick and stamp the ground. It doesn't even matter how many times they write up eds saying that, you know, Barr needs to be impeached and the former attorney general comes out and trashes him. And I don't think it matters anymore. I think they're speaking to people that just it doesn't matter. The impeachment sealed the deal for them. They're done. Nobody cares what they say anymore. It just doesn't matter. They just don't have the power that they had up until this point. You can feel the shift. You can feel it.
Well, yeah, because at the very basic level here, if you're part of an apparatus over there at Justice, in the media, the whole thing that works together, we know all the different types of appendages that this monster has. If you're part of this game that produces fruitless scandal after fruitless scandal, fruitless investigation, long, winding road investigations that go nowhere but stirring up political intrigue in the press, but actually produces no justice or no action. If this is the group of people out there that are being replaced, you can call it political revenge or you can call it whatever the hell you want it to. At the very least, this entire group should be replaced because they have a very, very bad sense of where crimes that are being committed. They have a very bad sense of what their job titles are, what their job descriptions are. They go on wild goose chases that produce no results. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is for 3.5 years here. You can call it revenge or you can just say, well, you know what? They're not pretty. They're very not good at their job. Maybe they should just lose their jobs. So
and they are. The NSC is losing people they're firing another 150 people, I think, by the end of the week.
Yeah, I heard that. What's the guy name? O'Brien?
I believe so. The guy who did the.
He said that by the end of today or by the end of this week.
By the end of the week.
Be down to about 110.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
And it's only Wednesday morning.
A couple more days to go.
Didn't we get a little hat tip? Hey, guys, big week coming.
Yeah.
Hasn't disappointed yet. And you see all the right people getting scared. All the right people are freaking out. All the right people are flocking to Twitter to proclaim, you know, the evil tyrannical. You know, what's so funny. I was reading a thread this morning and this guy goes, I'm not from America. Here, hold on. I'm going to tell you what it is. Okay. NBC put out this article yesterday with, you know, their unknown, you know, anonymous sources close to the administration nonsense that says Barr takes control of legal matters of interest to President Trump, according to multiple sources familiar with the matter. Hate those words. Anyway, someone says, I'm no expert on this whole democracy turning into dictatorship right before our very eyes thingy. But from over here in Norway, it seems like it's time for you guys to sign out of Twitter, get out and start occupying those see streets while it's still legal to do so. Hashtag resistance. And somebody said to him, wait, you want us to protest in a dictatorship?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is from Sweden?
Norway, yeah.
No, Norway.
Same difference. No disrespect to my Norway friends. Norway is beautiful. You ever go?
No.
I've been there once. It was beautiful.
Well, I mean,
it was always daytime.
Always daytime out there?
When I was there,
it's the altitude, right?
The position it is on the globe.
Or position, yeah. I forget what longitude, latitude.
Yes, it's
altitude is something different.
It's latitude. Its latitude is very high.
Hey, speaking of Norway, they have plenty of their own problems out there with the royals and pedophilia. I mean, why don't they just keep their nose to the ground out there and shut the hell up?
It's pretty crazy how many foreigners hopped in on this.
Yeah.
And then someone said, couldn't Trump just pardon Stone? Yeah. Yeah, he could. And I suspect he will.
That would be great.
But that doesn't mean that we let a sentencing recommendation like that. And then we found out, too, something I didn't know, that when he was interviewed in the House, Robert Mueller refused to comment or deny that his team leaked Roger Stone's arrest to CNN. You remember they showed up with cameras to film the raid on his home, like he was some kind of like narco communist with like weapons, and you remember?
Oh yeah. I remember it because that was the weekend I was in California last year.
Yes.
So the news was breaking while I was walking around the convention center in Anaheim.
I remember that, actually. And not only that, but please remember, people, no matter what you think about Roger Stone, there would not be a charge against Roger Stone if the predicate, which is the phony false Russia investigation, never happened. The crimes against Roger Stone, like the charges and the crimes he allegedly committed, which, whatever, would never have happened if they weren't investigating this bull.
Now, what exactly was it? Where was the lie again? Was it an email that he lied about, an email exchange? What exactly did they get him on?
He lied to the Hipsy, and he lied about Credico. He tried to get Credico not to talk. He tried to tamper with a witness. So Randy Credico was the go-between with Assange.
Okay.
And everybody disputes everything here, so I'm not even going to get into like the detailed facts of it all. But basically, Roger Stone said, you better not talk to these people. Keep your mouth shut. Because they're up to no good. And Credico pushed them off for a little while and then decided he was going to start talking to the Mueller crew. So the Mueller crew charges Roger Stone with obstruction of justice. What is his charges exactly? Let me see something really quickly. Anyway, long story short, like, they're crimes that never would have happened. And the worst thing about this is that in his sentencing memo, these a-holes, these former prosecutors, actually had the balls to insinuate that they colluded with Russia. Now, and I say this because from the impeachment hearing, we saw the lies that these House managers were allowed to tell with impunity without anyone pushing back on them in the middle of the impeachment hearing. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's baseless allegations and unproven facts going into official Justice Department sentencing memorandums. There is no proof whatsoever. They could not prove in the Mueller investigation that there was any. Actually, they proved the opposite. They proved there was no Russian collusion. And yeah. These people have the balls to write that in his sentencing memo?
Well, that's why we keep coming back around to it. So you can point to all the people who were given a lot of problems based on this investigation. It was all process crimes that popped up along the way of the investigation that had nothing to do with proving the fact that none of them had anything to do with the main premise of the investigation actually goes to disprove the main premise of the investigation. But certainly everything that General Flynn, George Papadopoulos and Roger Stone went through had anything to do with proving that there was something going on with Russia. All that Mueller's team came up with time and time again is that no American, which would include Roger Stone and would include the president, no American willingly or unwillingly aided the Russian government in any kind of interference in the election.
Yeah. Prove it.
So it's
it's,
oh my God.
It's proven in the very investigation this man was charged under.
I still hear Rod Rosenstein saying those words in my head when he came out to announce the indictment or the indictment of the 24 faceless Russians back in February of 2018. I still actually hear his voice saying that. No American, willingly or unwillingly. And then, of course, when it all concluded the next year, we know that definitively that's what happened. So what are we doing? We're talking about process crimes. So, I mean, Paul Manafort, if you find a way to open up the books on somebody, let's say, who is it really out of the scope of reason where if you find some kind of a way to justify investigating the hell out of somebody for one reason, and then, oh, what's this we found? You're telling me that if you just randomly investigate people in your life, you're not going to have found something that the government would consider a felony?
You ripping off a mattress tag is a felony. I mean, you could walk across the street wrong and commit a felony.
They don't say that the FBI can indict a ham sandwich if they want for no reason.
Exactly. Exactly. And I just want to say, like, it, you know, there are some people out there that are saying, you know, that these guys resigned yesterday because it was this was just a slap in the face of like justice everywhere. And that, God, you know, this should never happen and blah, blah, blah. And they resigned out of protest for, like, you know, against the Justice Department stepping in to say this is just not okay. And then it calls on everyone else. They say, this is not what you signed up for. I want to say I echo that. You did not sign up for a fair and just justice system. So do me a favor. Can you all resign at the same time as this dude, please? These guys? Anybody that resigns right now, I will applaud you. I'm sure you'll have GoFundMe set up for you and you'll have nice cushy jobs at Perkins Coie. Just get the hell out. Get the hell out of the government. Get out. We don't want you anymore. I hope there's a mass exodus of U.S. attorneys. That would be so awesome because we'd know the ones who were left give a crap.
Yeah.
Please leave. I implore you.
So I thought it was also interesting. Speaking of Paul Manafort, that the president tweeted about Tony Podesta.
Yep. Yes, he sure did. Yeah, he sure did. Whatever happened to Tony Podesta, he said, that was forced to resign and close down his lobbying firm. Whatever happened to him?
While Paul Manafort was kept in solitary confinement for the same exact activity.
Yeah. Yep. He's done.
Also unrelated to the premise of the investigation.
Yes. And the whole reason they started looking at him, this is going to be what's interesting to see. And Devin Nunes hinted at this yesterday, and I'm going to show it to you in a clip in a second. What's going to be interesting to me is to see if any of these prosecutions are overturned. Because in the justice system, like, if you start looking at somebody based on something that turns out to be incorrect, the rest of the stuff that follows that is null and void. In other words, if somebody lied to you and said, well, this person was doing X, Y, and Z, and so you start poking into them as a predicate for, if I'm nearly certain that if you find something else based on a bad warrant or based on, you know, some, you know, like illegal search and seizure, like if a cop stops you and doesn't do things correctly, read you your rights, all that nonsense, you're free. They can't continue to prosecute you if they made a mistake in the process along the way. So the Black Ledger, which is the dossier that supposedly Paul Manafort was implicated in doing all these shady things, it's coming out now when we're getting documents through John Solomon and others that this document, and I've said this and so have you, was fraudulent. It wasn't even real. And that was the thing that flagged off the Weissman or Page struck side investigation that was going on into Manafort. Do you remember we covered that in the FISA investigation?
I seem to remember that.
It was very
not the details though.
Yeah, because it was very like not on topic. you know, because it had to do with, you know, another investigation not inside of the FBI that Bruce Orr and Andrew Weissman and Lisa Page and Peter Strzok were working with this other team on, when they didn't let any managers know and they did it like all under the table. Well, that investigation was targeting Paul Manafort. And if all of this stuff that we're finding out about the Black Ledger, that we're finding out about the Carter Page FISA warrant, all of the stuff that's finally being declared in the public sphere, if this stuff turns out to be true, are they going to then have to go back and say, okay, well, Papadopoulos, your sentence is wiped off your record because we shouldn't have been looking at you in the first place? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a big thing that was going on the other day about Carter Page and how Durham hasn't interviewed Carter Page and he's not doing anything. Just shh. I'd like to ask anybody out there to tell me what information could Carter Page possibly give Durham about his FISA warrant that he didn't know about.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about. I don't know. I hate to call them useful idiots, but they were just used. It's they're literally obsessing over interviewing a pawn. It's like there's so much more that can be gathered just from the application process alone and what we know and don't know. I mean, just there's so much on the record officially about Carter Page that you can just put two and two together. Why? How much more can you ask?
Right. I mean, I guess he just feels slighted, like none of these agencies have talked to me. And to be honest, he's suing the FBI. So that kind of like, I don't know what they could do questioning him while he's suing them. But, you know, obviously Durham's not in the FBI, but I'm just saying. I don't know how that all works. It's interesting. But he was on John Solomon's podcast yesterday. So if anyone wants to check that interview out, you can. I think it's also interesting. We're going to listen to a very fast clip in a second. President Trump is constantly talking about all the wrongdoing that happened, and other people get away with it and all that. And then he always says something very, very curious. Let's see what happens. Did you ever notice that?
I like let's see what happens.
Let's listen.
That was going. I think in light of all of the things going on, and you know what I mean by that, the fake news, the Comeys of the world, all of the bad things that went on. It's called the swamp. And you know what happened? And you know what I did? A big favor. I caught the swamp. I caught them all. Let's see what happens. Nobody else could have done that but me. I caught all of this corruption that was going on, and nobody else could have done it.
Well, aside from we'll see what happens, he has, that's another thing he said a lot. We caught them.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, oh, well, please hurry up.
Can you, President Trump, can you herd them into a cage now?
Please.
We know you've caught them.
Hurry up.
They're still roaming around out there free.
I know.
Can we round them up? Can we put them all in a cage? Give them some cheese, whatever you need to do. I don't know. Here's some stats from Brad Parscale. This is mind-blowing. And we're going to go to our friend Richard Barris in a second, too. With approximately 54% of precincts reporting, this was last night, President Trump has received more votes than President Obama, Bush, and Reagan in their respective re-election in New Hampshire primaries. The final numbers were, I mean, holy moly. Do you know what the final numbers on New Hampshire were yesterday?
I was watching them come in, and up until the point where I went to sleep, I was seeing no matter what the hell they were, he had doubled Bernie Sanders in every.
Yes, he sure did. And the final is this. Despite running against 16 opponents, President Trump won 100% of the delegates and the highest number of voters for an incumbent in political history of New Hampshire primary, including both parties. Trump 2020, 118,774 votes. Obama 2012, you ready for this?
Yeah.
49,080.
That's in his reelection. He's unopposed.
I know, but so is Trump.
Wow.
Think about that. That's more than That's more than double the votes. Bush in 2004, 53,962. Clinton in 96 had 76,797. And Reagan, 1984, 65,033. That is, you don't understand. That is unheard of.
Well, you know what? The other number that consistently keeps coming out, and I know that it was part of Pascal's number, was that 25% are Democrats.
Well, 25% of the people at the rally were Democrats.
At the rally.
Yeah.
But I've seen 25 to 40
yep.
being floated in from city to city. So as far as explaining why these numbers are so huge, it's like you said before, perhaps those in past years you have varying levels of success of these candidates from either party playing to their base. And we have a situation here where a candidate is finally pulling from both parties.
Yes. And not only that, but, you know, think about this, too. Brad Parscale is releasing all these numbers. The numbers of people that did not vote in the 2016 election were high. People that did not vote in 2016 who were at this rally in New Hampshire. I think it was, I'm looking for the number now. Hold on. Because it's a big number. Not only it was people that didn't vote, and then people that, here, bear with me just a second. I'm sorry. Come on. I know it's not. Okay. 52,559 tickets. 24,732 voters identified, okay? And what he started doing now was telling people how many percentage points of those people were from the state they're in. Because, and I don't know why the Democrats use this to knock the numbers, because I think it exemplifies the opposite. Like, if you're willing to drive to another state to see this guy speak, I think that that's a positive for him, not a negative. Like, the Democrats are like, they're not even from Pennsylvania or New Jersey. Like, people are driving dozens of hours to see this man speak. Anyway,
yeah.
41% of those voters in the arena were from New Hampshire. 17% didn't vote in 2016, and 25.4% were Democrats. That is...
it's really remarkable.
I am... Nobody needs to get complacent. Nobody needs to get complacent. But I am excited to see the results on election day in 2020. No matter who the candidate is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're going to put Buttigieg up next to President Trump. Can you imagine the wiping of the floor that will be done with that man?
And meanwhile, in New Hampshire out there, did Elizabeth Warren or Joe Biden even place? See them in the tent. My God.
They didn't get any.
I saw a theory last night posted on Reddit, and I said, I completely believe it. It's really not even that far-fetched, but starting to believe, even though we were told 99% that Hillary Clinton was going to take the presidency in 2016, totally believe that whatever kind of strength in the polls Biden supposedly had was all fake. Just to at least bolster impeachment for while it was relevant.
Could be.
Even if he maintained, because he was maintaining like 8 to 10 point leads over all the other candidates all throughout impeachment. Then all of a sudden people are casting votes and he's not even placing. It had to have been inflated the whole time.
There's no way that was real.
It had to have been inflated. Why at the end of impeachment, if people were supposedly sticking with him throughout the entire thing, they're using Ukraine to go after Joe. We'll stand by you, Joe. He never had the support. It has to be a big media hack job. They're even taking up the small little jobs like propping up this corpse. You know, they tried propping up Hillary, but they took up the job, the mantle of propping up Biden. But we know it was just really just to make impeachment look a little bit more believable.
That, I mean, it wouldn't make sense.
I honestly, if he had won Iowa or New Hampshire, I would say, nah, you know, maybe, but not really. But the fact that he's in the cellar, both states.
He's hardcore in the cellar. Hardcore.
Oh, man. Man, oh, man.
Can I ask you a question, just a little bit off topic real quick?
Yeah.
Did you think that Ashley Judd was pretty?
Ashley Judd. Let me hold on. I'm forgetting what she looks like.
I mean, yeah.
I used to think she was beautiful. And I'm looking at this post that Elizabeth Warren made. Look at it. Go to Elizabeth Warren's Twitter account.
You know what it is? Something happened. It looks like she started screwing with her cheeks.
No. Look, do you see what I'm talking about? The pinned tweet?
Oh, wait, Elizabeth Warren?
Yeah, go.
Hold on. Twitter. Warren. Let's see here. Pinned tweet. Yeah, no, this is it's just the face. I'm looking at it right now.
What is going on? This is a different woman.
It's plastic surgery. Everybody in entertainment, in Hollywood, in porn, whatever the hell it is, all the women, after a certain age, once they start dabbling with injections and lifts and stretches and all that stuff, they all have the same face. It's the plastic surgery face.
It's horrible.
You lose whatever kind of characteristics that were your own, and it looks like you're all putting on a Party City mask.
One of those old ones from the 80s that had like the one strip of elastic and it was plastic.
Yeah. Everybody puts on the Party City mask after like age 52, and they start injecting everything, and they lose all expression in their face.
Wow.
Wow. Just age. Buy a new moisturizer. Let it go. What the hell?
I hear you. All right, back to politics. Here is Devin Nunes on Lou Dobbs last night about DOJ corruption. I love this man. I love him. Ready?
Let me tell you something else that your viewers will be interested in. You'll be interested because there's more to come on this. The lawyers that, you know, that stepped aside today, that busted Rod, that made the 7-9 year recommendation on the prosecutors. Mm-hmm. We believe that this is not going to be the only example. We think there's other examples of things that they did during the Mueller investigation that I think you and your listeners and the American people will be very interested to learn in the coming weeks as we start to unpeel the onion of what the Mueller team was really doing. Because I always say this, when Mueller was appointed, we have to ask ourselves, he walks in the door the first day and said, okay, show me all the evidence you got on the Russians. They're like, Bob, sorry, we don't have any Russians here. We don't have any evidence.
Yeah.
So what the hell did they do for 2 years? They set up an obstruction of justice trap, and they went out after a whole bunch of people that now got sentenced. Some already served their time, and I think all of this has to come into question now at this point.
Because the FISA warrants were invalid. There was nothing to start a counterintelligence investigation. There was nothing to start this all on. Nothing. Nothing. They knew, we talked about this, and Bill Barr, remember? Bill Barr said they knew at least September that there was nothing here. What the F were they doing the entire time? What were they doing?
And even though these are great questions that need to be asked, it really is still very in a very occupying question. It occupies our time and saying, well, let's get to the bottom of this. Instead of what was the investigation or investigations that they canned to start making this one, to start creating this one. Hmm. I mean, obviously it's all messes that have to be cleaned up, but we're not even getting to the base of the issue.
No. And again, it's now I'm hearing that they are, they're actually questioning Louise Menchie. You know, Mench? All the people. Yeah, Menchie.
That's how you say her name?
No.
Menchie?
I just say it like that to make fun of her. Louise Mensch. She blocked
me. I don't like her at all.
She blocked me, so I just have to live vicariously through others. But, you know, she was a big part of this. She had all kinds of crazy conspiracy theories about Supreme Court justices. And, I mean, it's just, it's asinine. they're interviewing the people that should have been interviewed for the Mueller investigation rather than. So one of the reasons why very early in the Mueller investigation, and I changed my mind on this rather quickly in a period of just a month or two. It was maybe 2.5 months it took me to realize that the theory was completely not correct and eat crow, right? I thought for a while that there was a chance that Mueller could actually be investigating the bad guys. And I pulled that because if you started looking at all the people he was questioning and all the people that were going in for interviews, it looked as though he was interviewing all the people involved in plotting this coup. And because of the weird meeting before he was appointed and all of that, it just laid itself out perfectly as a theory. And it turns out he was protecting those people, not questioning them. So that didn't work out. But, it seems like now we're getting Durham, who's actually talking to the right people. And Brian did a really good thread yesterday. He's done a lot of good threads lately, to be fair. Where he goes through the timelines in not only the Durham investigation, Frank, but also the Ukraine investigation that they're forced to start admitting is happening right now, right? Mm. Remember the thread that I wrote, and you read the essay, if you want to call it that, on your show as well, about what was going on in the next several months. This was like in late September.
I'm trying to remember.
Hold on. For those who read that, yeah. Okay. Yes. So it was the insider information about indictments about Ukraine.
Oh, from our buddy?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
So if you look through this, which I retweeted again because it has been absolutely scarily accurate so far. In here it's mentioned, according to our discussions, this is September 27th. The Ukraine was going to come into major focus because both sides of the establishment aisle got dirty in Ukraine and left themselves exposed. It's a, quote, pathway to the Clinton machine, the Soros machine, the neocon machine, the neoliberal machine, not to mention organized crime in both Russia and our own. Note, this update was compiled on the 20th of September because just giving an idea for the timeline. Not without concerns. For the first time in any of our discussions over the past several years, I detected some concern on the part of the grunts in the field that not in that they couldn't make the cases, but how bad the fallout would be. And the fact that they uncovered a huge amount of evidence in some places they didn't expect it. And about how the Newland crew is all involved here. I really recommend you guys go back and read this again.
From September 27th, I'm seeing it right now.
Yeah.
All right. I remember I had copied it down and I read it off myself, but I'll keep this thread to the side and I'll look for passages I can bring up again.
Yeah, it's really scarily accurate, if that's a word, scarily. It really is. And again, that feeds back into this notion that, it hasn't just been in the past week that the Department of Justice has opened up investigations into Ukraine behavior, okay? They're using that and saying, it's a political hit job. They're coming after us now. If this stuff has been ongoing for months. Again, Durham was investigating Baker in 2018. October the latest. That's 2 years ago. Well, a year and a half ago, right?
Ish? What? Which?
October of 2018 was...
Oh, 2018, yeah.
Like a year and 5 months ago.
About that, yep.
So it's not like this... And I don't know why everybody keeps saying that Durham's going to release a report. I don't understand that at all. That doesn't make any sense. There's no report. I would be surprised if there was some report. Durham is a U.S. attorney. He makes indictments. And arrests.
Reports are for investigators.
Right. Reports are for special counsels. He's not one. Just saying.
Man.
We had more, Frank. We had more yesterday. We didn't even skim the surface, which is amazing if you think about it. Jussie Smollett.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Seven charges. What is it?
Six. Jussie Smollett has six charges against him. That little, and you know, this is coming from a special investigator that was appointed to look at why his charges were dropped and the case as a whole. They say that they have not come to any conclusions yet on the conduct of the people that made the decision. Something tells me that Jussie is going to become the fall guy in all this. And he's been indicted on six charges. We haven't gotten the charges yet from what I can tell. But good, good. $10,000, give me a break. And he gets to ride off into the sunset proclaiming his innocence? Give me a break. Nope.
To film the last season of Empire?
I can't wait to see, if we ever do, what comes of his federal mail case.
What's that?
Where he was sending himself...
Oh, the death threats?
Yeah.
Yeah. What a psycho.
Speaking what of...
What a psycho. I always wondered because... Especially once drama started happening, the first generation of internet drama with my friends, because we were that first generation that grew up with computers, and then around middle schools when everybody started getting AOL and Netscape and all this stuff, and so of course this is around the same time that you start getting the first bits of drama. What did she say inside of a chat room? People printing out chat logs. You got to see what they said, blah, 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 blah. And of course, you also start thinking about people who start to make secret screen names and try to stir the pot and all that. And I always wondered, I was always very fascinated by what drives human beings in their moments of solitude, just to do things like and that. To just do things like that. And I always want to be a fly on the wall to see them all alone, expressionless, just toiling away and doing something that they know is ridiculous, is creepy, it's manipulative, but they're just hell-bent on doing it. Like, you know, just a lonely-ass person inside of a dark room, their face only lit up by their by their computer screen, just typing away, pretending they're somebody else and like getting a kick out of it, but not really having a good time. They're like scratching a really awful itch. Same thing with Jussie Smollett. I wish I could have been a fly in the wall to see him write himself a death threat.
Oh,
you know, the actual process. Like, did he use crayons? This loser. What a psycho.
Yeah, he's crazy. There was just a FOIA release, Frank, of all of the video and documents and stuff in this case. So you can actually watch the video of the detectives or the police getting to his apartment in the beginning, like, and going up there and his.
Oh, and he has a silly string around his neck?
Yeah.
Yeah. The noose. The noose. It looks like somebody sprayed him with silly string.
Yeah.
God, he probably went on Google and said how to tie a noose.
And like, he literally emptied out a hot sauce bottle and filled it up with the alleged bleach. I mean, this is a sick, sick, sick person that did this. Sick person.
And it's a person who's got a career. You know, but I mean, you think about it. They have an apartment. They're on network television. They have all these friends in politics and this and that, and here they are emptying out bottles and plotting fake attacks on themselves. It's like, geez, wow.
You want to know what's crazy is that if you Google Jussie Smollett FOIA release, it's all old articles. If you Google Jussie Smollett by itself, you get, you know, the recent stuff. But there was just the other day, there was a release of FOIA information in his case that I'm trying to find, because I think that it might be some comic relief for us. One more thing too. Did you see this guy from The Atlantic that wrote this piece McKay Coppins.
No.
I'm going to show you. We're going to play a clip from it really quickly. He was on with Brian Stelter. He wrote a piece for The Atlantic, a very long piece, which I painfully read, titled The $1 Billion Disinformation Campaign to Reelect the President. And of course, here's what it says. This is where it starts. One day last fall, I sat down to create a new Facebook account.
Oh.
I picked a forgettable name, snapped a profile pic with my face obscured, and clicked like on the official pages of Donald Trump and his reelection campaign.
He's lucky he can even get into Facebook. You know what I had to do? I had to make a quick account to go and get technical support on a program I use at the studio because they're so stupid. The only technical support module they have or a portal they have is a Facebook group. I still to this day have not had my account approved. They said there's something suspicious about you. Get back to you.
Well, there is. I mean,
yeah.
But I know. I hate it too. I couldn't even log in with my own name. So I don't know what this guy's talking about. Anyway, he's interfering in the election by his own definition. He says this, Facebook's algorithm prodded me to follow Ann Coulter, Fox Business, and a variety of fan pages with names like In Trump We Trust. I complied. I also gave my cell phone number to the Trump campaign and joined a handful of private Facebook groups for MAGA diehards, one of which required an application that seemed designed to screen out interlopers. The president's reelection campaign was then in the midst of the $1 million ad blitz aimed at shaping America's understanding of the recently launched impeachment proceedings. Thousands of micro-targeted ads had flooded the internet portraying Trump as a heroic reformer, cracking down on foreign corruption while Democrats plotted a coup.
Wow.
Hold on. I just he was on with reliable sources. You can be Stelter for us.
Oh no. What? I can't believe this.
You don't want to be Brian?
Oh, well, what does he say? What is he?
I mean, you're going to be able to, I'm going to play a clip here and you're going to be able to give your take on it afterwards.
Okay. Yeah. I can't wait to hear him. I actually haven't heard Brian Stelter's voice in, I think, months.
Well, you're going to hear it now.
Wow.
Here's the author of this piece, and you're going to love it. Here. Oh, it's going to play an ad, I bet you anything. I bet you anything. Nope.
How do you think this is related to the ongoing attacks that we see from the president and his allies against the media? Because you write in your piece, let me put it up on screen. You say, instead of trying to reform the press by pointing out bias to make things better or critique its coverage, today's most influential conservatives want to destroy the mainstream media altogether. That's very strong. I think it's accurate, but that's very strong. How do you make that case?
Well, look,
I mean, this is a lesson that we've seen over and over again. If you look at Fox News, at Breitbart, at some of the loudest voices in the conservative media, they are not calling for more balance in the mainstream media. In fact, I quote Matthew Boyle, an editor at Breitbart News, who gave a speech at the Heritage Foundation saying literally that there's no such thing as journalistic integrity anymore, and everything is about weaponization of information. And that's how Breitbart performs its task. That's how a lot of conservative media is operating now.
What about local news? Because you also point out the local news is a new front in these campaign attempts at warfare. There's all these local news websites that look like they are your hometown paper or your local TV station, but they are not.
Yeah, there have been a lot of questions about these over the last couple of years, these kind of faux local news sites like with innocuous names like the Kalamazoo Times or whatever. And if you look closely, you can see that there are often no bylines on the stories.
No bylines.
Have you looked closely to these innocuous stories? If you look closely, they're not reporting what we're reporting. They must be stopped.
I wrote an op-ed, Frank.
I can't see. Are they painting each other's nails as they're talking about this stuff?
It looked like it. Toenails.
Oh, my God. God.
And bootlicking as they did it. By the way, as per AOC, we are not allowed to use the word bootlicking.
Why?
Because it doesn't make any sense. Nobody's ever really licked a boot, Frank.
Oh, right. And nobody's actually ever levitated themselves by pulling at their bootstraps.
Right. Right. Did you see what Hublet did?
What?
Oh my gosh. Let's play it. I played it on my live stream last night. I happened to go live last night after you were already off the air. Just because I couldn't keep it in. I had to let it out. Here, this is really funny. She did an AOC one, and we can listen to it. Hublet again joined us on the podcast, what, a week ago?
Isn't there a big day before the education board today?
I believe it is. I believe it is. Here. We say in our... Here's her AOC video.
So, I've been thinking about this really seriously, you guys. Most of the things that we say in our daily lives are just, like, systemically racist. We need to bring socialism, like, to words. By the skin of their teeth, meaning, like, you barely made it. That's not the way things should go. Like, teeth don't even have skin. Like, it takes two to tango. Like, white people don't even know how to dance and shouldn't even be allowed to tango. It came from, like, indigenous peoples of Cuba and stuff. Or, like, saying with socialism that everything costs an arm and a leg. Like, first of all, nobody ever literally lost an arm or leg in socialism except, like, Hitler, I think, but that's not a good example. Like saying something's a piece of cake. You guys have seen my cooking. Making cake isn't even easy. Cutting it into pieces is not easy either. Like blow off steam. Like obviously I don't have steam in the inside. None of us do.
Nobody should be allowed to say fat chance. That's a...
Oh, yeah, no, it's so good.
It is. She's great. I love her.
I love her. I can't wait to meet her. I haven't met her in person, but when I do, the hug that will ensue of that woman.
Yeah.
I love Miss Hublet. Okay. Hold on. We obviously had Michael Bloomberg's thing. I don't even want to touch on that yet.
No, I did that. I did that in the opening of my show last night.
Literally hate. Yes, you had told me you were going to go over that. What I do want to play though, because we touched on this the other day very briefly, is here is the PBA, the New York City PBA president Pat Lynch, talking about what's going on in New York, and I think you'll enjoy this if you haven't heard it already. Did you hear this yet, Frank?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's boring then. I don't know. Maybe other people haven't.
I think I might have seen it because you retweeted it, actually.
Okay. Well, here we go.
The word at our press conference. We're back here in Lincoln Hospital, and we keep hearing the word at our press conference. This was a miracle. We were lucky. Well, we have to stop relying on luck. Some of the same elected officials that are standing at that podium today are talking about how lucky we are. Well, sometimes it's their words that are causing this. We talk about the protesters that are yelling, "We want dead cops." Those words meant something. And people listen and they try to kill cops. But who's leading them? Some of the elected officials that stand here today nodding their heads when we speak are the ones that's leading those crowds, leading those demonstrators, putting the words in those protesters' mouth. Well, now it's real. 12 hours, two cops shot. Now, we've been warning about this. We've been warning about this since 2012. We warned about it in 2014, and we were ignored, and two cops were killed. We warned it the other day. And what happened? 12-hour time period. We're here in Lincoln Hospital twice because police officers were almost assassinated. They weren't lucky. They were fast. Fortunately, these police officers moved fast. Our officer yesterday threw it in drive and got out of there and then got himself to the hospital. Today, we had police officers in this station house that were lucky enough to be able to dive out of the way. a police officer that was shot was able to shoot back. That's not luck, that's skill. Start backing our police officers, our elected officials that stand and nod with us. It's time you open your mouth and say, this must stop.
Yeah. You know, it's times like that where I listen to people like that from my old hometown that I miss living there, because that's how I used to sound.
Yeah, just let it all out.
I used to sound like that. I know I have a New York accent and people say it all the time, but when I came here to South Carolina, I had to tamper it down because everybody hated me.
You got leveled out.
I did. When I'm back there, though, it's a different story. When I'm back there and I'm with my family and we're sitting there.
Takes a couple of days to beat out of you again.
It comes back and I'm like, oh my goodness, listen to that.
It's in everything.
I know.
It's like going to a smoker's house and then you leave and it's like in your jacket. And you're like, oh, damn it. I'm talking like a Gavone again.
Ah, Gavone. You have been listening, Frank and everyone, to the Dark Delight Podcast with
Sunny Hump Day Val and
It's Almost Less Cloudy Bean. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. We will be back on Friday with goodness knows how much more to talk about.
Later.
I'm Jerry Pitot, CEO of Radio Influence. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on any of our programming, or if you have some show ideas you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you take time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means more than you could ever know. Without you, the listener, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to all of our programming. You can find all of Radio Influence's programming on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.